Hello, everybody. Welcome to American Pale Males, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. I'm Michael, and with me is the one, the only...
It's me, Jeremy. Michael, how in the world are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Jeremy. We had our big book episode last week. Have you read any good books lately?
I know that this may not be on the docket, but...
Oh, already?
Yes. So in our quest for new and improved American Pale Males, I have to bring in some, you know, it's going to skirt with hot button issues, but... I assure you, I'm going somewhere with this. So, at the time that we're recording this, one, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, who may or may not be the name of a cartoon rooster, went through his confirmation hearings as, I believe, the Attorney General. Is that correct?
Yeah,
and
right.
During this, he brought up, he's been accused of some questionable deeds in his past, and... In his defense, he brings up a case of Michael Donald, and this kind of struck me as odd because I just finished reading a book about Michael Donald.
Okay.
Michael, are you familiar with the name?
Isn't he one of the Bee Gees or something?
No, you're thinking of Michael MacDonald, although okay. I don't know if he's part of the Bee Gees. And you're going to feel really silly when I tell you. Michael Donald was a martyr in the civil rights cause. I just finished reading a book called The Lynching, How an Epic Court Battle Brought Down the Klan. And it's all about how this man, Michael Donald, was, you know, murdered by the Ku Klux Klan in Alabama in the early 80s and the ensuing court case that came on. And Jeff Sessions plays an important part, oddly enough, in bringing the Klan to justice, which is unusual. The people who were questioning him this week did not take kindly to this, and the book also focuses on the creation of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They did not take kindly to Jeff Sessions trying to glom on to their win, so I believe their statement, paraphrase, said, you know, we appreciate the work that Mr. Sessions had done in the past, but we don't like you. And I bring it up because the book is fantastic. With a title like The Lynching, it's a little bit of a harsh subject matter, but if you're fascinated by things you don't understand, and I trust you don't understand the KKK, much like myself, it's an excellent book. So, Michael, if you're still in this reading kick and you really want to up the ante, I recommend The Lynching by Lawrence Leamer.
I think we have a new segment, Jeremy. I think it's Jeremy's Lit Pick of the Week.
Or Hook's books, you know, that can work too. I don't care.
I keep the book recommendations going.
I will. I'm on. Yeah. My goal is to read 30 this year, and I'm up to 2 already, with Going Clear, Scientology, Hollywood, and the Prison of Belief is number 3 that I'm currently working on.
Oh, you're like hot button. You like the hot button books.
I'm fascinated by things I don't understand. You get a little weird looks when you're reading books like this on the bus, but they can kick rocks. I don't care what they think. Michael, to you, how in the world are you? What do you got for me today?
Well, I got a beer brag, though. It's not really a beer brag.
Well, what do you got for me?
It's an update.
An update?
Yeah.
Dios mio.
Right now, I'm looking at a airlock that is bubbling.
Aha.
And it's bubbling from the fermentation of tomato juice.
Oh, this nonsense.
It's happening. Like I said in my New Beer's resolution, I said I was going to try to make a all-natural Bloody Mary.
It's so gross.
I did dope it up with quite a bit of sugar, though.
That'll help.
Because, I don't think the sugar content was there in just the
Probably
plain
not.
Tomato juice. So, it's going. And we'll... I think, so the next step... It will be about 10 more days. I'll leave it ferment here, and then I'll bottle it. I don't think I will prime the bottles with any sugar because I don't really want it to be carbonated. And I don't want to encourage yeast growth anyway.
Yeah.
So we will see how this turns out.
Have you given any thought to any of the accoutrements that traditionally come with a Bloody Mary? So, you know, you're... Woosty
celery.
Sauce, celery.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more along the lines of a hot sauce that may go well in this.
Well, I figured I'd just try it straight up for the fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
See if it works. And then if it works and if it's palatable, I might try to jazz it up next time.
So,
and that doesn't mean adding heroin to it. That means jazzing that.
Wow. Okay. So my question for you, Michael, is when you bring this up in polite company, how weird are the looks that you get?
I avoid that by not bringing it up in polite company.
That's a good
call. Yeah, right. Unless it's a massive success, it'll probably just be between you and me and the fine listeners at home.
Indeed.
Jeremy, do you have another magical Belgian mystery tour beer for us, or have you been saving those? Or
so I have one in the fridge at the moment that I'm saving for a later point at this nice okay. long weekend, but I do have a beer brag for you, Michael.
Oh, good, good.
So, thankfully, I purchased several birthday beers for my recent birthday, which, you know, the less said about the better.
Okay.
We're getting old. But the podcast, I believe, has talked about Backwoods Bastard in the past, and so I shan't be digging into that. But what I have is, thanks to the good people at John's Grocery in Iowa City, Iowa, I was alerted to the presence of Hoppy Magnolia by Urban Family Public House Brewing of Washington, or rather, Seattle, Washington, in the United States. So I had not heard of this. Apparently, it's located in the Magnolia neighborhood of Seattle, and they aim for like French styles of beer, which you don't see a ton. Hoppy Magnolia specifically is a Citra dry hopped farmhouse ale. When you get to some of these American saisons, farmhouses, whatever you want to call them, they get a little... They kind of all taste the same after a little while, but these guys seem to generally get it right. They understand that there's no specific way a saison is supposed to taste, or at least a true farmhouse. This one had... it was pretty funky, to be completely honest with you. It had that weird saison stank that you can only get in a good one of those, but the Citra dry hops really kind of balanced it out. I highly recommend it, and I'm excited to try out a few more of their beers that they have at John's Grocery, Iowa City, Iowa. I gave Hoppy Magnolia a 4.25.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite beer types. I've never heard of that brewery, though.
Neither had I.
Yeah. It's been a while, decades since I've been to Seattle. So
it's been 4 years?
You were there recently, weren't you?
Well, 4 years, I mean.
Well, relatively
semi-recently,
speaking,
yes. Had I known that this place existed, if it existed 4 years ago, I probably would have tried to make it out there, but I guess this gives me a reason to go back to Seattle.
There you go. Jeremy.
Michael.
Would you like to play a game?
I guess.
Who is that guy? Does the little puppet from the Saw movies have a name? Is he Jigsaw, or is Jigsaw the guy?
Jigsaw's the guy. It does have a name. And thankfully, I don't know the answer to that.
You don't regard the Saw movies in high esteem?
I like the second one. It's Billy the Puppet.
Billy?
That seems real dumb.
Yeah, it does.
The first one's terribly acted, but has a really good, you know, concept behind it. I like the second one as far as an escalation matters go. And I guess it's a subgenre known as a funhouse horror movie. But
okay.
The rest of them were just kind of truly revolting at points, but yeah.
Do you like Billy more, Billy the Puppet more, or Chucky?
Oh, Chucky, a million times over. At least Chucky had a personality.
Do you like Billy or the Leprechaun more?
Leprechaun had Leprechaun in the Hood and Leprechaun back to the Hood, so I'm going with the Leprechaun.
Okay. So Billy, he's not very high. This is not the game, by the way.
If Jigsaw goes to the Hood, I will be the first one in line to see that movie.
Okay. So this is a game, and I haven't told you anything about it.
You haven't.
So the premise
I can,
is new to you.
I can vouch for this.
Yeah, and to the listeners as well. This is a game I kind of co-invented on another podcast I used to do. The name of the game is called Face.
Face.
And so basically what I'll be doing is I'm going to Google image search a face who you have seen before.
Okay.
And who the audience has seen before, too. They're in the zeitgeist. And it's my job to describe that face the best I can, and you have to guess who it is. So really, you can't lose. Only I can lose by you not guessing it correctly.
Well, I mean, we can all lose, Michael, but well, I'm curious to see. This is a sort of like a picture version of the $64,000 pyramid.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, and the rules are I can give you gender, because then that way I can say he or she. So sure. I will tell you this is a he.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the Google images. There's lots to choose from. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's kind of breaking the rules by not describing the face, but describing the variety of all the faces I can see. So I can't tell you his hair color, because that's not part of that face, but I can tell you that the hairline is receding, so he has a very big face.
A five head.
Ovally in nature.
Okay.
Kind of gaunt, pretty big nose, droopy eyes. What else? Okay. It gets difficult. He has pretty big ears. It kind of a horse-like quality when he shows his teeth.
Oh boy, this is difficult. Is it Tobin Bell? Are we going Saw all the way?
Nope, it's not. Oh, okay. And you can guess as many times as you
want. All
right,
that was going to be the next question. All right, good.
In some of these, let me scroll down, get some more examples. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the teeth are very striking. Two big front teeth when he shows them. There's several photos of him here where he has like kind of a psychotic grin on his face.
Is it Steve Buscemi?
Yeah, you're getting in the wheelhouse there.
Okay. He's one of those guys.
Yep.
Okay.
Think skinnier.
All right. Skinnier?
Skinnier face. Okay. Like more narrow. And in fact, in some of these pictures, he has a, what is it called? A widow's peak?
Yes. Is it Peter Cushing?
It's not Peter Cushing. Okay. Oh, man.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. Peter Cushing. What is it? Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, so I have forgotten already a key point of this game, and you said in the zeitgeist. And as much as I appreciate Peter Cushing and Steve Buscemi, I don't know if one would consider them in the zeitgeist.
Right.
Okay.
I'll try a little bit more here, then I'll start giving you non-face clues.
Widow's peak, droopy eyes, narrow face, ovoid.
He does have facial hair, kind of a scruffy facial hair in some of these, but not a lot of them. Most of the time, he's clean shaven.
All right.
Oh, he has sideburns in a lot of these, which is technically part of the face.
It is part of the face. It's as part of the face as the ears and or hairline. Receding hairline, ovoid face, droopy eyes, widow's peak.
Big teeth.
The horse teeth is the thing that's throwing me off. I have a feeling I'm going to hit myself when I figure this one out. Rather, when you tell me this. And in the zeitgeist, God, I don't think I've been part of the zeitgeist for like 10 years, Michael.
Yeah, it's more of like, I wouldn't say he's big right now, but... Okay, we'll start going off the face. He's timeless.
Okay.
I will say he's an actor who has been around for a long time.
Is it Nick Cage?
It is Nick Cage.
Okay. All right.
So congratulations, Jeremy. You just played face for
yes,
the very first time.
I win.
What would you say your favorite Nick Cage movie
is? I was
just
going to ask you the same thing. See, this is a very difficult question. Like, even top five Nick Cage is difficult. If I had to say my favorite, it'd have to be Raising Arizona. Because consider that one of the funniest movies ever made. Now, if we're going my favorite unhinged Nick Cage performance... It comes down
just chewing up the scenery.
Oh boy. It comes down to a tie between Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, which may be the only movie with two colons in its name. That's not a joke. But it's Vampire's Kiss is a close second. He really goes for it in that movie.
I thought about it too, and I like Nick Cage's face. The reason why I chose him is his face really kind of creeps me out.
It's pretty creepy, man.
So I don't like a lot of his movies, but then I thought he has so many that, like, probably the one that I really like where he's actually acting is Adaptation.
The fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Actually then, acting. I reject your assumption, sir.
Well, you know what? Yeah. But then The Rock.
The Rock is sweet.
And where is that other one?
Con Air?
Face Off.
Okay, so you're giving... okay, hold on. You brought up this actually acting nonsense, and you list Face Off as his serious movies. Now, Michael, are you just going by movies of his you've seen?
No. I'm saying that's not a serious one.
Okay, good.
I'm saying that's where he's just kind of doing what he wants.
Yeah, he's at about a 6 or a 7 in that movie. I'll give you that one.
Would you like to know his top 3 grossing? Do you think you can name those?
So, fun fact, this is an offshoot of a game that lawyer of the show Josh has brought up. He introduced us to an idea called the Box Office Mojo game, wherein one will go to boxofficemojo.com, which is a website that shows, you know, how much a movie has grossed, how much an actor's movies have grossed, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm looking at it right now, yeah.
And you know, like, all right, Nick Cage. And then it is the room's job to guess his top 10 grossing films.
Ah.
It can get surprisingly difficult with the advent of digital animation.
Yes.
But if I had to guess, I'd have to say The Rock is probably up there.
That's number 4.
Shoot. Oh, National Treasures have got to be in there.
Yep. Yeah, 1 and 3.
1 and 3, okay.
Although number 2 is animated, so technically.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The animated ones are always my downfall. You're going to have to give me that one.
That one's The Croods.
The Croods?
Yeah.
I remember seeing cardboard cutouts for this when it was in theaters, but I didn't think anybody watched it.
Yeah. Apparently it grossed about $190 million.
We need to make an American Pale Males children's movie.
You and I animated?
We can get into shenanigans.
But yeah, no, yeah, so you got the top 3 live action.
I did get the top 3 live action. Good for me. Although with those franchise movies, it's just like, ah, come on, man. Like, I know you're in Transformers 1 through 9, but lame, dude. Come on.
Yeah. Then you got Ghost Rider, Face Off, Gone in 60 Seconds.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Con Air.
Con Air.
Moonstruck. That's an early one, isn't it?
Somewhat early. 87?
Okay.
It's got Cher in it. It's a good movie.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, Moonstruck is December 87.
Wow. All right. I don't know why I know that.
And then 10 is Knowing.
That's a bad movie.
Anyway, so... Ugh. Well, Jeremy, not only did you guess the face, you also guessed the movie, so round of applause.
Thank you.
For me.
Thank you. Thank you. Please keep it to a minimum. We've got people working here.
Jeremy, should we dip into the Pale Male Pale real quick here?
The American Pale Male Male Pale? Yes, we should.
Actually, it's kind of Male Pale and Update.
Okay.
We did get a tweet from friend of the show, and if I'm trending on territory that I do not belong on, let me know. But friend of the show, Grubbs.
Go right ahead, yeah.
She noted, she said she's having she had a Duval based on our review.
Excellent.
And she gave it 4 stars. Thanks for the recommendation.
Yes, no problem, Grubbs. We do what we can.
And I also wanted to mention a few changes to the way the podcasts are listed. So now I'm going to, Mike and I always went back and forth on this, but I figured for listeners at home and for search engine optimization,
SEO,
if you look in the description of the podcast, you will find the beer we have on the episode listed there. We used to kind of make it cryptic, but I figure kind of what's the point of that?
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to search for something, it makes it a little difficult.
True.
Yeah. But if you don't want to know, don't look at the description.
Yeah.
That's very easy to do in most podcatching apps. So
it's one might say that not looking is the default way of going.
Right. Yeah. And also, I think we will probably try to list some beers we're having in the future. As of right now, we don't know what that is yet, but stay tuned. And we will be telling
that. We'll figure it out soon enough. We'll put it on social media.
Last mini announcement is we might try to expand the YouTube channel.
Really? This is news to me.
Yeah. Watch this space. We might be posting some audio excerpts of there from famous moments of the show, like deep... That was my first reaction when I came up with this idea. I was like, what moments? But deep frying candy bars.
That was good.
Trying the Milwaukee's Beast.
Oh, boy.
Some other cream of the crap moments. Mike rating the first 5-star beer on the show. Things like that.
I like
it. And then
it.
Also some other little experimental things that we might try. So stay tuned for more on that.
We're taking nerdy beer tasting podcasting into strange new directions, Michael.
Yes. Speaking of which, though.
Oh.
Is it time?
Accidental segue.
FDR, yeah.
Yes, I think it is.
Now, Jeremy, God, I kind of like am piling on the games and junk on this episode, but I had a lot of ideas.
It's good. I like the ideas.
So I have a quiz related to the FDR.
Oh, okay.
And I think I'll just say the beer right now so people at home can play along with this quiz. So the FDR is... It's Ale Asylum, right?
No, it is not Ale Asylum, Michael.
Oh,
it is
it's Carbon 4.
Carbon 4's Dragon Flute American Pale Ale.
That's right. So this is the first line Wikipedia quiz where I will have a basically subject and I will read you the first line of it from Wikipedia and you have to guess what that title or subject is.
Now, I'm assuming that it will have something to do with carbon, dragons, 4, or flutes. Is
yes.
that a fair assumption?
That is a very fair assumption.
All right, cool. Let's bring it on. Come at me.
Okay. This is an opera in 2 acts by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart to a German libretto by Emanuel Schikaneder.
The American Dragon. I don't know. I'm bad. I'm bad with opera.
Yeah. That's The Magic Flute.
Bravo, I suppose.
Okay.
Next one.
0 for 1. Here we go. I think there's 6. This is an insect belonging to the order Odonata. Probably should have read these out loud. Belonging to the order Odonata, infraorder Anisoptera from the Greek anisos, meaning uneven wing, because the hind wing is broader than the forewing.
So I think you mean Anisoptera, but you also mean a dragonfly.
That is double correct, yes.
Woo! 1 for 2. Next question, please.
This person is a former quarterback in the National Football League, Canadian Football League, and United States Football League.
He is also the creator of Flutie Flakes, and his name is Doug Flutie.
That's right. This is a 1996 American fantasy adventure film directed by Rob Cohen. It stars Dennis Quaid,
Sean Connery.
Yes, and the voice of Sean Connery.
And this is Dragonheart. I watched this in 8th grade English?
Really? In school?
Yeah, I think they just wanted to get rid of shut us up for a little while. I don't remember much about it.
This is used in the consumption of certain beverages. As with other stemware, the stem allows the drinker to hold the glass without affecting the temperature of the drink.
A champagne flute, perhaps?
That is correct.
All right.
This is a Japanese anime television series produced by Toei Animation.
It's the one where they run the whole... Dragon Ball Z.
That is correct.
All right, good.
So that was the Dragon Flute quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent job, Jeremy. You went 5 out of 6.
Opera. I mean, come
opera.
On. And not even a single question about dragon suplexes or the American Dragon. Come on, Michael.
I was thinking about putting some wrestling ones in there, but I relented.
It's okay.
So, Carbon 4 Dragon Flute, Jeremy.
Yes, Michael. I really like the labels on these bottles.
Yeah, tell us about the label of this one.
So this one appears to be the cover of some totally radical 1986 VHS cover that's like a ripoff of Tron and Dungeons and Dragons. It's got 3 pyramids, 1 shooting a beam of light, much like the Luxor in Las Vegas. I suppose they all are. There's a few questers, one has a Gandalf hat in the front. These labels almost seem iridescent. Am I going crazy or is that true?
Yeah, there is some foiling on this label.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, definitely. They are from Madison, Wisconsin. The reason why I might have gotten them confused with Ale Asylum is because they brew in the space that Ale Asylum used to be in. they have a long story on their website. It's kind of some funny photos of the owners here, kind of dressed in like an Olin Mills type photograph session.
So stepbrother Zoe?
Yes. So I won't go in. This would take forever to go through, but check that out if you're interested in knowing more about Carbon 4.
Aren't we all?
I think we should just get into the beer, don't you think, Jeremy?
So one thing I'm noticing before I've even opened this is I may have grabbed my bottle a little too brusquely, and looking through it, this has got a good layer of sediment in it, Michael. What do you think about that? So you don't usually see that in a pale ale.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I wonder if they're going for something here, or
I don't know. Let's crack it and find out, shall we?
I do have the corporate description.
Please go ahead while I figure out how to use this new bottle opener I have.
Okay. Magic, adventure, mayhem, fluffy bunny hugs, bluffy honey fugs. Sunshine farts on a Skittle tart. German and English malts stalk one another in the K4 Thunderdome, whilst Mosaic and Centennial willfully participate in the bloody sugar lust. Two malts enter, one beer leaves. It doesn't take a team of rocket appliances to comprehend that this beer kicks, and it's a word that rhymes with
Nantucket?
Bass.
Oh, Michael. I know you're going for the clean rating. We don't go blue on this podcast, but come on, man. What's iTunes gonna do? Throw us off?
I don't know.
We registered under Mike's name, so it doesn't matter.
So as Jeremy mentioned, this is an American pale ale. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
ABV of 5.3.
Respectable, but not hefty.
It's one of their flagship brews. And it's available in their tap room on draft and in a six pack, which is where Jeremy and I got this.
It's true.
So let's open it up.
So I already did.
Yep. Yeah. Tell us more.
This has got some serious haze to it. The reason why I jumped the gun, as it is I have a new bottle opener that is given to me as a Christmas gift, I think. And it is a dachshund with a bottle opener as the tail. And the ridge that one uses to pry the bottle cap off is not very long. So while it's a delightful addition to anyone's bar, I don't know how useful it is.
Maybe you just need to kind of, like a regular dachshund, you know, train with it. And once you two get on the same wavelength, it will be like second nature to open with it.
I mean, it's either that or, I mean, this thing is made of what appears to be cast iron. So if I have intruders around, I know exactly what I'm reaching for. This is, the pans are in the cupboard and this thing's just sitting out on the shelf.
You're right. This is very hazy. There's lots of yeast sediment floating around.
And it's not going anywhere. Like, it's
in suspension, yeah.
Colloidal. Or wait, no, I'm misusing that term, aren't I?
No, I think that's accurate.
It's been a long time since chemistry, Michael. I'm just going to go with it.
My head is sticking around.
Yeah, mine is. There's about a pinky's worth of foam on top of mine.
Yeah.
After it's settled a little bit. Lacing is nice.
What do you got for a nose?
Mosaic and Centennial are some of my favorite hops, as I assume we've talked. We did a Mosaic single hop.
Yeah, pale Mosaic ale. Promise.
Oh, yeah.
From Founders.
If I remember right, did not float either of our boats, but the combo in here is very fruity and there's a little bit of a floral note in there, but
citrusy fruits.
Definitely. Juicy citrusy fruits too.
Smells kind of sweet, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Pretty great fruits. Nose on this thing, Michael.
Well, Jeremy, why don't you put your lips to the dragon flute and blow away and let me know what you think of this beer.
This one's surprisingly bitter given the nose it's on there.
Okay.
Michael, have you had this one before?
I have not, no.
Okay, so as you said, we got this last time I was in your fine neck of the woods. And after we were done being harassed by Grandpa Simpson, we got this, and this has been staring at me, and I've been wondering, Dragon Flute, what's inside you? I must know. And it turns out that it's a rather bitter pale ale.
I need to go back in. I went once, and I see what you're saying. It's not too abrasive, though.
No, not
bitter,
at all.
But it's kind of an easygoing bitterness. It's not like crank it up to
Yeah, it's I mean, Hop Bomb is not a, it's not accurate, nor is it inaccurate, which I realize is absolutely pointless for me to have said, because it's extremely bitter, but it's not, you know, ruination bitter or anything right. like that that's just going to, like, sandblast your tongue. It also seems like this is dry hopped pretty severely, which would explain the nose, but not as much of the taste on the, or at least the citrusy taste anyways.
Yeah. I think what's notable about the bitterness is that it's not just the back of the tongue.
No, it's right there when you start it.
So yeah, it's front and center. It's not just the back of the tongue. Hop bitterness is a kind of full body bitterness.
So Michael, I may have asked you this question before, but I don't remember the answer. And if I don't, well, I assume the others don't, the others being the listeners. So I know that IPAs are not, you know, the first thing that you're going to reach for necessarily. But in a world where you walk into IPAs are us or IPAs, IPAs and beyond.
Yeah.
If you have a choice between the fruitier IPAs or the more bitter IPAs, which one would you go for first?
Probably the fruitier ones.
So your fresh squeezed, your pseudo-sues, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Versus, you know, pine. Actually, I think Pine Drops is not another
Deschutes
one.
Pine Drops, Deschutes. That's exactly what I was going to bring up, yeah.
Yeah, something piney or something super resiny. Yeah.
I like the balanced ones, to be completely honest.
Uh-huh.
And at times, that's where I prefer something like Golden Nugget or Soul Hunter from Toppling Goliath over a Pseudo Sue or something that's just packed to the gills with, you know, Citra or Mosaic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I'm enjoying this one. I think this is leading me more towards the bitter side of the force.
I would say I would agree. Side note, I also like Carbon 4's logo.
It's pretty sweet.
It's very organic chemistry.
It's four hexagons.
Yep. Four hexagons lined
carbon
up.
Carbon rings? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Like the benzene rings are
Like I said, it's been a while since chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I just kind of want to... It's enjoyable.
It is. It feels like it's a very full beer without being, like, overwhelming in any stretch of the imagination. Like, the fruit aspect of it doesn't overpower anything. The bitterness, while strong and definitely large and in charge, it doesn't overpower everything.
Now, have you had Carbon 4's Fantasy Factory?
I believe so. That's the one with the unicorn on the...
Yeah.
Okay,
the
unicorn I have
blowing
had
fire with a cat riding on his back.
That's pretty sweet.
That's their IPA. It would be kind of nice to side-by-side.
That would be a good idea.
Those two, just to see where they kind of cranked up the Fantasy Factory versus this one.
The APA versus the IPA is just using, like, traditionally American hops, right?
I think so. It's probably not well-defined.
Or is it one of those... Is it nebulous like the amber ale is?
We should look up in our BJCP manual and find out the answer to that. But
without expertise.
Yeah.
Michael, what are you thinking about this one? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's good, but I'm thinking it's not something I, in my personal beer catalog, would reach for.
Mm-hmm. In my case, I am, for those that may or may not know, I'm more of an IPA fan than you are. It seems.
Yeah, you've replaced Mike in that role very well. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm quite up to Mike's lust and, you know, all-encompassing desire for IPAs. I like to kind of spread out all over the area. But I do rather enjoy a good IPA. I've been off of an IPA kick just because, you know, sometimes it's nice to even things out. But I like that This one is balanced. Like I said, this one fits where I am looking for, and it's right in that sweet spot. The malt is just right. It's not obtrusive. It's not super, super sweet, but it's also not, like, rail thin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good body to back up
definitely,
what's
yes.
there, and the, yeah, nice, is malty enough and has a nice thick body, obviously if the skis can float around in it. So
yeah.
It backs it up pretty well.
It does. Are you getting any yeast character out of this?
Not really. Let me try again, though, thinking about that a little more.
I am not getting any yeast character out of there, which, you know, is probably a good thing in an APA or an IPA. But it's it's weird because, I mean, it's still sticking around. Nothing is moving in here.
And yeah.
It looks like someone has frozen, like, mineral water or something like that. But
this would be a good one to reclaim yeast from, I guess.
If we could spin it down, yeah.
Yeah. Get a nice little pellet at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. But enough sign storkery for one night. Michael?
Yes.
Give me a rating. What do you got?
Time to rate it. I'll go in for the sip of judgment here. I do like the front-end bitterness. The back-end bitterness is maybe leaning more towards the, like you said, how you like that balance. This is maybe more going to the bitter side of the forest, the dark side, which is not my favorite, as we discussed. So I'm going to give this, but it's really good. I can appreciate it. So I'm going to give it a 3.5, which may be kind of equivocating, punting a little bit, but I think this is a true 3.5 beer for me personally.
So while I stall to think of what my last point is the bitter side of the forest like a Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
I'm moody. Not vengeful. Well, I mean, I suppose he's vengeful, but it's more of a meh, I want to do be. But that's
a little more angsty.
It's an angsty ale. God. Anywho, I think we've both laid out our likes and, well, not my dislikes, but your dislikes about this beer. I still have a little bit ahead on this one, which is surprising.
It just must have a lot of protein content in there from, you know, if it has such a thick body, you know, to be able to support that lacing and that thick head.
I have not read that chapter of Designing Great Beers yet, so I don't know about that part. But what I do know is I like this beer. I love the bitterness in this one. I'll be upfront on that. I like the fact that it's got it at the front and the back, because so often in an IPA that tries to, you know, outbitter itself, which makes no sense, but whatever, without expertise.
Yeah.
When something tries to outbitter itself, it either just, you know, it puts too much on one side or the other. And this one is very well balanced. The dry hops really, what I'm assuming are dry hops, really give it a great nose.
Mm-hmm.
And a sip of judgment, Michael, fill some air kindly.
Hey, Nick Cage was also in a movie called City of Angels.
He was also in Drive Angry 3D, which is a phenomenal movie. I recommend you watch it. But now that we've gone through Nick Cage, I'm going to give Dragon Flute a 4.0, Michael. I really appreciate the bitterness in this. I think this beer, I'm not giving it enough credit, because that is a razor-thin line to walk. It's real easy to go too bitter and real easy to not be bitter enough. And this one hits the sweet spot for me. So I'm going to go 4. Good work.
That's good.
Carbon 4? Ha ha! I just put that together.
4 for Carbon 4. That's a good rating for a flagship beer, too.
It is. There's a few places that I can think of that shall remain nameless, and, you know, the potential that we review their beers later, whose flagship beers just kind of left me cold.
Yeah.
And this is not one of them. So good on you, Carbon 4. I look forward to trying more of your ales.
Most excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy, do you want to do the social media stuff?
I sure do. Folks, you can find us at APM Pod at just about everything. You can find us at APM Pod on Twitter, which maybe the easiest way to get a hold of us? I don't know. Either way, we check everything. You can find us at apmpod@gmail.com if you would like to send us an email. You can find us on Facebook at apmpod. You can find us on Stitcher at apmpod. And you can find us on iTunes. So please, if you're enjoying what you're hearing, go on there, write a review that's, you know, not slanderous or libelous. I forget which one is which. Write something good.
Why don't you?
And as always, I'm going to, new year, new fear, new whatever, I'm going to try and push out. If you guys have something you want us to do or not do, or if there's something that you like or dislike, you know, let us know. We can always use feedback. I can't promise that we'll tailor to your specific needs, but we will take it under consideration.
Yeah.
Did I hit everything?
I agree. I think so.
You can always Google American Pale Male RSS feed, I'm assuming. I think that's what I did.
The feed burner is kind of now our new default link, which you'll be able to find in Facebook and Twitter posts of our episodes.
And Michael's delightful Photoshops that just kind of come out of nowhere. Episode 92, was it 92?
yeah.
With the Moose and the Widow's Watch for our Moosehead Lager episode. I rather enjoyed that, as Michael predicted. I don't know why I enjoyed it. It's just a picture of a moose standing on top of a house, but it is delightful. So good work, Michael.
Thank you. Yeah.
No problem.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another beer.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We will catch you next time then. So for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I have been Jeremy.
Cheers.
Cheers.